Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and welcome to March. It's officially the first day that a happy hour is coming out in the month of March. And so here we are. And we have a really fun show today. In fact, a special guest is on the show with me. And I have a guest on every week with me. But when I say special guest, it should tell you it's a special, 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 special guest today. My husband, Aaron Ivey, is joining me. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, hey. I liked how many times you used special. Thank you.
You are special. Wow. You are very special. Well, Aaron's on because today is the show where we are celebrating the 1 year birthday of the book that we wrote together called Compliment, The Surprising Beauty of Choosing Together Over Separate in Marriage.
I thought we would have like a cake with like one candle on it or like some balloons or something.
Oh, we will, babe. Don't you worry. Okay. Happy birthday to this book that you and I wrote together. I'm so excited about it coming out. It came out a year ago and we've heard such great stuff about it. And today we're going to dive in and answer some of your questions about marriage that you sent in, but also just talk about some of the things that we're dealing with our marriage in a particular season that we're in right now, which we've had teenagers for a while, but we're about to launch a teenager.
Oh, man.
Into college, into university life.
Yep. Into like being a real person, into, like on his own.
Into
adulthood. We're going to cut him off. We're going to cut off the gas card. We're going to cut off insurance, healthcare. what else can we cut off? Christmas presents, birthday presents.
In all seriousness, when you went to college, did your parents still provide everything for you?
My parents gave me a gas card.
Uh-huh.
They still paid for my insurance and my car insurance and my car note.
Wow.
I used to go to the gas station and use the gas card to buy groceries.
Oh, I did that same thing too. Yeah.
I don't know. They never realized like, wait, it only costs $35 to fill up his little car. Mm-hmm. Why is the bill $85?
Yeah.
But I would just go in and get chips and salsa and snacks and
yeah,
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I did the same thing. In fact, one of my favorite pictures from our wedding day actually is right before my dad walked me down the aisle. We were back in the back of the church. I don't know if you even know this.
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, we were back in the back of the church and I had planned this whole thing out and the photographer was ready. And not immediately before we walked out,
but really close
to where we walked out. I was like, Dad, I have something for you. I want to give it to you. And I handed him back all of my credit cards.
Yes.
Or all of his credit cards,
yeah,
I should
his
say.
His credit cards.
He died laughing. It's one of my favorite pictures ever. The photographer got such a great picture. But then I remember like a couple months into our marriage, we were like, now why did we give those credit cards back?
Exactly. So you waited a long time. Does that mean Caden's going to be like that far into life before we get our credit cards back?
My parents were so nice.
They were so nice.
I mean, I do have some friends that when their kids go to college, I think they'll still pay for like some things, but they're pretty much like an adult.
I like that.
You do?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, he'll have to get a job while he's in school.
When we went to visit this university he's interested, they said, we don't really recommend the students work because they have so much time. And I was in there going, you're going to be a barista someplace.
And I've been to college. You have a lot of downtime in college. It's not like you're studying 12 hours a day.
Yeah. So I hope that, I mean, this is new for us. And so we haven't talked about this public. How do you feel about sending a kid off to college?
I thought that I would be like more sad, but I'm actually really excited for him. I'm sure I'll feel sad like when we drive away from college without him. But I'm more excited for him. Like I'm really excited about like the life he's going to build. You know, he's into film school, so he's already making films. He's just super creative and got his head on his shoulders. So I'm actually really excited about college for him.
Shout out to Ivy Films.
Right?
Is that his Instagram handle?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I remember years ago when we lived in Nashville, we had some really close friends, Shauna and Kent Shingleton, and they had kids who are So when Caden and Deacon, when we lived there, that's who we had. We were little. They were in middle school and high school.
Yeah.
So they were lots of stages ahead of us. In fact, we couldn't even like comprehend.
No, we could not fathom Caden
right
being a college student.
Because he was like a 12-month-old.
Right.
And now here we are. And I remember just asking her like, man, how do you do this? And she would say like, it's sad, but they're ready. Like, you're ready for this next stage. And I think that's kind of how I feel.
I mean, it's not like we can't wait for him to leave.
No.
But you do get to the point where you're like, it's time for you to like go to the next step now. You need to work out all your problems with some roommates, you know, and a professor. go do that.
Yeah. I remember when Caden started ninth grade. And I had this visual that he started ninth grade and we turned this hourglass over.
And it was, yeah.
And it felt like we're at the end.
And it went quick.
And it, in a flash.
Don't you hate when you hear people say that? Like, better enjoy it. It's going to go quick. And I always like rolled my eyes like, well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
But it really did.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed this. I've been driving Story to school a lot.
You've told me that quite a bit and I didn't put two and two together. Why?
Look, I almost just got teary-eyed because she's our last. And
what you are getting, you're not just teary-eyed. Why are you crying?
Because when I think about Caden leaving in that ninth grade, I felt like that hourglass started. And Story's in eighth grade. And when she's a sophomore, she'll get a car and drive just like these other kids. And I thought, I have the flexibility. What could I do to spend more time with her?
Wow. I didn't know this.
Uh-huh. And so I've been driving her to school.
We actually, Jamie and I only talk to each other when we're recording podcasts. This is good to know. Thanks.
I know.
Wait, how many days a week do you think you're doing that?
Oh, at least three or four.
Wow.
You know, I mean, she still rides the bus some, but yeah. And it gets me up and out of the house and I can be at the office by 8:30. So it's great. I like that.
So every morning when you drop her off, she's like, Mom, thanks for that one-on-one time.
No, she, this morning she got in the car and she put her headphones on.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's how it is.
She'll remember it one day.
And I think it's just like something that is good for me too. Like, you know, I see Caden going off and then she's our last one. So this is, we're going to talk about marriage today. And the reason we're talking about marriage is because A, we're married to each other.
We are still married to each other.
Still married to each other after 20 and a half years. And our book, Compliment, like I said earlier, released a year ago, which feels like forever ago.
Oh, I was going to say it flew by.
Yeah.
Wait, it feels like forever ago or it feels like not too forever ago?
Well, I also released a book in October.
Okay.
A kid's book. And so it feels like that was like 2 books ago. And it was.
It
for
was.
Me.
Yeah. For me, it doesn't. I was shocked that it's been a year.
Yeah.
This new book that just came out 12
yeah,
months ago.
Yeah. And one of the things also that we released last year was the marriage challenge for 2021, which I want to let everyone know you can 100% still do that. It's there. Yeah. If you go to aaronandjamieivy.com/marriage challenge, it's free. And it's just every month we gave you a resource of a podcast interview, books we thought would pair well with that interview, and then some date night questions. In fact, someone sent in and said, thank you so much for all the interviews. The marriage challenge was super insightful. This is what she said. She said, I was single when I started it.
Whoa.
Right? So it's not just for married people. I was single when I started it in January of 2021, believing God for a mate. She's from Zimbabwe. Believing God for a mate.
I was going to say Zimbabwe or Australia.
Yeah. And he came along in December of 2021.
Whoa.
The marriage challenge has been helpful in my new relationship because I have clarity on the kind of marriage I'm intending to build. And I know the kind of conversations to have with my boyfriend that will build our marriage.
That is so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Wow.
Another person said, my husband and I read the books and listened to all the marriage challenges together. One thing it helped was with giving us the ability to talk about some things that might have been hard or awkward. We realized we weren't the only ones, and in order to make our marriage stronger, those conversations were good.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. I think what this is encouraging to me as well is, and I want to talk with you about this actually, is we've had some challenges in the past year that are maybe unseen to the to the public eye that we've walked through together. And I was telling a girlfriend the other day that I feel like I'm still learning things about you.
Okay.
Well, not in a bad way, but we have seen each other walk through this differently.
Right.
And I think that hasn't been surprising because I've talked to enough people to realize everyone grieves differently.
Everyone responds to things
things differently. But I think one of the things I'm super proud of us for is that we have been patient with each other's different response and vulnerable with each other with our own response.
Yeah, that's
true. Would you say that to be true?
Yeah, I think we've both given each other space to respond to hard things like differently because we do not respond the same way.
I think that we have grown in that.
Yeah, I don't know that we would have done that early on.
That's what I mean.
But I think going through smaller conflict early on, we did realize like, oh, you react to things differently than I do. You tend to want to verbally process. I tend to want to go into a cave and not talk to anybody about it. So we kind of learned some of that early on, but I feel like it's been tested a lot more in the last year. And we both see that we actually are very different in how we reply to stuff.
You know that I want to answer this question that someone sent in. We ask on Instagram for some questions and someone asked this, how are you intentional to not start to grow apart when you are both so busy in ministry? And I think even right now with us talking about this kind of conflict and difficulty that we've had to go through behind, you know, in our personal lives, we've both still continue to run our lives and do our jobs and be parents and be married and all the things.
Yeah, I remember, you know, a therapist asked us like, how has this affected your marriage? You know, and almost like assuming that, man, that what you guys have been through is really, really hard. I'm sure that's affected your marriage in a negative way. But it hasn't. Like, it's actually made us come closer together and understand each other, show more patience, mm-hmm. more kindness to each yeah. other, which I'm super thankful for. So all of you that are building marriage, you know, in the early years or even refining marriage, like, it really is worth it because you might get to something that's bigger than anything you've tackled before, and you're going to need that foundation of trust and patience and forgiveness, all the things that we talk about, you know, mm-hmm. like you really do need those at some point in your life, because everybody's going to go through something way harder than they imagined or yeah. thought was going to come.
Yeah. And I think I heard someone say one time, you realize that you're not married to the person you married.
Right.
And because we've changed,
everybody
we've evolved,
changes.
Everyone changes. We have 4 kids now. We're in different seasons, all the things.
You used to be so nice to me.
Oh my gosh.
So.
But I think also like what you're saying, we've talked openly here and in other places about the struggles that we had in 2020.
Right.
With married life. It was really hard. And I think us plowing through that, and by plowing, I mean limping and trying to get through
working hard through it,
really helped us in other seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to answer some more questions?
I'd love to.
Okay, here we go. This came up, the same question a couple different ways. With your kids being older now and staying up late, how do you find time for intimacy?
iCal.
Calendar planning. You know, it's funny because I have said this before, is that I now will tell my friends with little kids, and I think we've said this together when we've been on a podcast interview, like, you're so tired then with little kids, mm-hmm. but you can't explain how different it is than now with having all these teenagers in our house.
Right. 100% different.
I would give somebody all 4 of my teenagers for a month, maybe a week, and take their little kids
mm-hmm.
because it's just different.
Yeah. Because when you have little kids, it is hard. There's a lot of hard things that you're walking through and you're tired. But I mean, most nights they go to bed by 7. Like, I hear, you know, other parents talking about they're putting their kids to bed at 7, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
our kids
that
aren't even
would
home
be
yet.
So nice. No, they're still
at lacrosse practice or wrestling practice.
Yep, still working
or working at the car wash. Yeah, yeah.
And then they get home at 11, and then they want to hang out, and so then we're up till midnight unless we shut it down early.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the things that we've had to be intentional about, and again, this has come from a lot of communication with us as well, as we both value intimacy. We both also value like being well-rested adults.
Right.
And we also both value spending time with our kids.
Yeah.
And like you just alluded to.
It's like all 3 of those are important.
Yeah, all 3 of those are important, but all 3 of those can't happen.
Not
on the same
night.
Day. Nope, they can't.
No. So knowing that, like just knowing, hey, what is tonight? Is tonight a me and you night? Is tonight we're both exhausted, or I'm exhausted, let's just go to bed, or is it we need to hang out with the kids tonight?
Yeah,
we talk about that.
Yeah,
like,
we do.
What
talk
does tonight look like?
Yeah, and there have been many times when like I've been on my way to bed and one of the kids shows up in the kitchen and they're coming down there to eat probably their 17th meal of the night,
and they're actually
and
alive
they are
at that
alive
point,
and they want to talk to you
because teenagers are nocturnal.
Yes.
They're completely mm-hmm. gone during the day.
Yeah.
And then they it's like they wake up around 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. So I think that it's been a lot of communication. You know, I also just want to throw this in there. This isn't a question and this isn't have anything to do with you, but some of my girlfriends were talking just yesterday about how no one really talks about your sex drive and everything changing and your mm-hmm. bodies are changing, and we're in our mid-40s and we have teenagers and we both work full-time and we're tired
like 9 o'clock we're looking at the clock and we're going, man,
yeah,
Ooh, let's go to bed.
But I think it's just your, and also like just hormonal stuff for a woman's body change and things just cannot be the same as they were.
Is it getting hot in here? Ooh, starting to get all sweaty. No, but we do, like, we joke about iCal, but we really do talk through the week. Like, hey, what are the nights where we are together? What are the nights where we're gonna go upstairs, whether the kids are hanging out or not, and we're gonna go to bed? And we just talk about that. And you know, we tell this to younger couples too that are like about to get married or newlywed, and it just seems like such a foreign concept. Like, wait, you would have to talk about when you're gonna have sex, or you'd have to like plan it out. Like, hey, Monday's date night. Let's make sure it's just me and you. You know, and it just seems so weird. But I was looking at, so there's this guy that I mentored, and his calendar still shows up on my phone. And so I looked at the calendar, and on this calendar, I saw at night every single week, it just said S period L period. And I was like, S period, L period? What in the world is that?
Are you about to tell his business?
Well, and I thought it stood for sex life.
Oh, SL.
And I was like so proud. I was like, oh my gosh, you're scheduling sex on your iCal.
But they're newlyweds with no kids.
Right, like, so then I asked him, I was like, dude, SL, what up, dude? He's like, what do you mean? That stands for spiritual leadership. And he's like reading a spiritual leadership book. So we don't like put it on our iCal. Like, there's not a bubble, you know, that says SL. But we do plan for it,
yeah,
and talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're more honest about it instead of just kind of assuming or waiting for that to happen. But, you know, just being very communicative about it.
And that comes with vulnerability for one person to say, hey, it's been like 10 days. I think we should kind of think about this. And the other person to hear that in a way that's like, oh, how do I love my spouse? Okay, let's do this one. How to overcome the wrong ways that marriage was modeled for us. I want to speak into this first and say that I think our kids will have to overcome things.
Totally.
And I am a big believer in that everyone, if they're working towards it, is going to be healthier than the generation before them in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're talking specific marriage, you and I can both say, man, we each had marriage modeled for us.
Yeah.
Both of our parents are still married after 45, 50 years. All my grandparents were still married when they passed away. We saw marriages within our churches, within mentors that we had. And so everyone has marriage
something modeled for them. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad. And I think even, I mean, I would say this if my parents were sitting here, I'm not throwing anyone under the bus. Even my parents have been married for 45 years. There are things about their marriage that I've wanted to do differently.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because it's like, oh, look at them. It's just me going, I'm going to do this a different way.
Yeah.
And so I think when someone asks that question for me, it thinks like, man, really take an inventory of like who was modeling marriages for you, whether that was your parents, your grandparents, your Sunday school teacher, your biology teacher, I don't know, whoever was close to you.
Yeah.
What about their marriage did you say, man, this looks like the way that God designed marriage to be? And what about their marriage did you go, you know what, I don't really think that's the best way to communicate with someone or the best way to deal with things. And then guess what? It's your marriage.
Right, right.
You get to make a choice.
Yeah, it's like when you look at your parents, you can either be a student or a cynic. And you can look at it and go, oh, well, there was some good things. You know, maybe it was only one good thing, but there were some good things. So I'm going to learn from those. I'm also going to learn from the things that I don't want to do. And I think so many times we're just cynical and we just think, well, we're better than them. Our generation's better. That old generation's stupid. But, you know, not being a cynic, but just really genuinely, critically learning from the past and doing the good things, copying those, and then looking at the things that were not great and just going, great, I'm so glad I learned what it looks like when you do it poorly. Let's not do that.
That's so good. Okay, next question is this. How do you forgive and forget?
Mm.
And I think one of the best books I've read on that is by my friend Lisa Turkhurst called Forgiving What You Can't Forget.
Right. That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, and I just don't think that as humans we have the ability to just be like, I forgot this.
Nope.
It never happened. And so 100%, you can listen to what we're going to say and we'll give you our opinions and thoughts, but go get Lisa's book because it's really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think forgiving... the essence of real forgiveness is remembering but choosing to still love.
Mm.
Now, I can't forget the things that I've had to forgive you for. I can't. Mm-hmm. And that's an unrealistic expectation.
Yeah.
Of maybe one day I'll forget that.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things with time, I'm sure, you know, we'll laugh about one day, be like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But But yeah, forgiving is like, yeah, sure, I might remember that, but I choose to like love and I choose to move past that.
I remember when I visited Rwanda in January of 2020, and if you're listening, you're not familiar, back in the late 90s, I believe it was, Rwanda had one of the most massive genocides, you know,
the world had seen.
That we'd walked through. In like 30 days, 1.5 million people were killed, murdered. And so their country just was, I mean, went through hell with that. And here we are, you know, what, 25, 30 years on the other side of it. And I expected to walk into a country that was just like depressed and just terrible. And it was one of the most vibrant places I've ever visited. And
like beautiful.
Beautiful. And the people and the land did not look like they'd been through this, you know, 25 years ago. And I asked one of the pastors that we were with, like, explain this to me, you know. And he said that the country had to make a decision not to rehearse the pain. Mm. And I've never forgot that, because obviously they haven't forgotten.
They still remember
the pain.
There's
memorials. Yeah. People lost the whole households, you know, women watched their husbands be murdered in front of them. And so no one has forgotten the genocide that happened.
But they don't rehearse it.
But they don't rehearse the pain. And he said that was their key. And
that's good for marriage too. Like, I might remember it, but I'm not going to rehearse it. I'm not going to play it over in my head. I'm not going to hold it against you.
Yeah. And I would say that's harder for me. I don't know. I don't know that you do that.
I forgive you.
Rehearsing the pain is something that would be real easy for me to really go back and remember, man, I felt so hurt in that moment, and then start to just be hurt all over again.
I mean, I can't think of any examples of when you've done that recently. That's so true, though.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask a question.
Okay.
Okay, here's one that I saw that it just stuck out to me. It's just profound, and I think I'd love to hear what you have to say. What is your favorite thing about Aaron? That's literally a question on here. No, the question is, what is your favorite thing about Aaron? And then, Aaron, what is your favorite thing about Jamie? Let's go some positive stuff
some
for a little bit.
Stuff.
Yeah. Enough about this fighting, forgiving stuff. Okay, one of my favorite things about you is the loyalty that you have for people. So I've seen that with friendships that even have gone through hard stuff, or a friend has disappointed you, or walked away, or whatever. You're just, when you are loyal to someone, you're very, very loyal. And so that's really cool, and I'm thankful for that as a husband, that you're very loyal. But that is one of my favorite things about you, is you have a very loyal heart and loyal spirit to your family, to your kids, to me, to your friends, to the people you work with. That's a great quality.
I think one of my favorite things about you, and this sounds pretty lame after you just said the word loyal, but I still laugh so much when I'm with you. And so, you know, I don't know that this will translate on the podcast, but sometimes we'll be like laying in bed and we'll be like, man, 20 years next to the same person. I can't believe it.
Same body.
And we're just joking, you know, but I think that there is some. That is true. Like, I've slept next to the same person for, you know, almost 21 years. But I think one of the things that is, like, we're such good friends, and you make me laugh. And I really enjoy our friendship.
So laughter and loyalty, that's the key.
Yep, there it
is. That's the key right there. Someone asked, are there things that y'all do weekly, monthly, or annually that you think help in marriage?
Yeah, I mean, I can think of some things that we do well. And then there's probably some things that other people tell you that you should do that we don't do that would probably help us as well. I mean, I know a lot of people talk about like working on their budget together, and that helps. And
we're still every January to get coming that. Up with goals together, that kind of thing. Yeah.
And I think those are amazing.
Yeah.
We don't bend that way in our marriage. I think for us, one of the things that's been so key for us has been time, and that has been quality time.
Yeah.
Because, especially over the past couple of years, we already said we had 4 teenagers. Over the past 5 years, my job has taken me to traveling more. And so I'm not home every night of the week like I would have been 10 years ago.
Right.
And so for us, I think we really value quality time, which means we're really shooting for a date night every week. We're shooting to get away 2 or 3 times a year together.
Yep.
That really helps.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend. He's married. He's going through a really hard kind of marriage season. And he was just talking to me about, you know, how hard that is and they haven't gotten away together in a while. And I just asked them, I was like, when's the last time y'all did something just really fun together? Mm-hmm. Like, when was your quality time just built around, let's go do something fun, you know, not hash it out, not plan something, not work on budget, but just go have fun. And he was like, man, that's a really good idea. We should just go have fun.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. That's like right.
Yeah.
To just go, you know, even not to live like oblivious mm-hmm. to what's going on, but mm-hmm. just to go like, you know what? Yeah, kids are hard right now.
Yeah.
Or yeah, we have babies, but it's worth it to get a babysitter tonight. Let's just go have fun.
Yeah.
Let's go to a movie. Let's go play putt-putt.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, record a podcast.
Record a podcast in the day.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I love it. If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Okay, here's a good question. And we have a lot of couples in our life right now that are in this season. How do you figure out the first year of marriage? You know, you got two people coming together. They've dated, but dating is very different than marriage. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people ask that question like, okay, this is not what I expected. This is different. How do I actually figure out how to do the first year of marriage?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard. And looking back again, that was 21 years ago for us. And we were so young. We were babies. And so I have friends who are getting married now and they're 32. They've lived. They've got their own house. They have their own car payment. You know, they didn't come into a marriage fresh out of college like we did, or still in college like we did as well. And so I think some of the things that I think would be important would be expectations. Mm. And so even so much as like you're dating and you're engaged and you're getting married, expectations of like, what does your morning look like?
Right.
Especially if you've been living by yourself.
Right.
Because all of a sudden, this person is up at 5 on a walk and making coffee and clinging pots around in the kitchen, and you don't roll out of bed till 8:30. That feels like trivial.
But it's not.
But it's not. Yeah. It's important.
Yeah, because one might have the expectation, oh, before we both go to work, we're going to have breakfast together, right? Mm-hmm. And the other person's expectation is, well, no, we're going to sleep an extra 30 minutes, right?
Right.
And I think even with like calendaring, a lot of younger couples, I think, bring extra tension and conflict into the relationship because they're just not clear about like what the schedule is going to be, you know? So when you're single, you're like, you know, a friend says, hey, do you want to go out on Thursday night? You're like, well, yeah, I got nothing else to do on Thursday night. But that doesn't always change when you get married. And so guys will still go like, well, yeah, I can go hang out Thursday night. And then it's Thursday afternoon. And then they tell their wife, oh, by the way, I'm hanging out with Bobby, you know, mm-hmm. tonight. And that could just be so, that could be solved so easily of just clear expectations up front. Hey, what does Thursday night look like? Are you cool if I plan something? Mm-hmm. You know, we have a couple friend that every Sunday afternoon, like 5 o'clock, they get together and they look at each other's calendars and they kind of plot out what the week's going to be. Hey, what time are you planning to be home on Monday night? Hey, what do you have Tuesday morning? And they talked about how just that one little 30 minute sort of thing helps set expectations.
Which, speaking of expectations, there was a question in there and they might have been joking, but I'm going to bring it in anyways. They said, why is it the woman always cooks and cleans? Why is that the assumption? Did you see that question in there?
Yeah.
And I think that's a valid question. And it goes back to like, what are we communicating about? Because I look back on our marriage early on and pre having kids, we both worked full time.
Right.
We were students and then we both had jobs and then we had kids and we made the decision that I would be a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
Okay. So with that, I also took on responsibilities for other things as well. But it was this conversation that we had, you know? And so I think that that mentality of like, oh, I'm getting married and the man does all the outside work and brings in the money and the woman does all the kids and the inside work. I think that is very much two generations ago.
Yeah.
Because like in our particular marriage, I talk about this all the time online, is that you cook all the meals and I like to mow, you know? And so there are these like different ideas of what would be gender roles that I just don't think you have to bring into your marriage.
Right.
You know, like I know my brother does all his own laundry and his wife does her own laundry. And some people would be like, oh, why is that? Well, they've just communicated just it and that works best for them.
That's what they do.
Yeah. And so I think coming into a marriage, say like, what's going to work best for our marriage in this particular season?
Right.
Which if you're a stay-at-home mom, you might need your husband to do grocery shopping for you.
Yes. I think some of it's as easy as like, what do you like to do and what do you not like to do? And if there are things that you don't like to do, well, let me take that. You know, some people are like, man, like for you, you hate taking the trash out. So I don't think that's like your job. I don't think it's necessarily my job, but when we talk about it, it's like, oh, well, I can take the trash out.
Yeah.
I'll be in charge of that.
Yeah.
And then you have kids and they turn into teenagers and you say, now this is your chore, big guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you still have to tell them every day to do it.
You have to tell them every day. But now we have a new plan, a new punishment for if you don't do your chore, because we found ourselves like saying the same freaking thing every single day. Hey, did you take trash out? Hey, did you take trash out? Hey, did you take trash out? So now that they all have bank accounts and JOBs and a Venmo, if you don't take the trash out, dad sends you a Venmo request for $5.
$5 for every chore not done.
$5. That's a third of an hour of work at
HEB. Yep.
That's what that is.
And that's not even a full Chick-fil-A trip.
No, it's not. $5 doesn't even get you a latte at Starbucks anymore.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, here's a good one. What do you say to your spouse when they are rude or discouraging in public? Like to you?
Oh, yeah.
We talk about this a little bit in our book. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what we do and just kind of the, you know, safeguards we put around that. Yeah. Because one of my biggest pet peeves is being out to dinner with another couple. And in that conversation, one of the spouses is like rude or, you know, disrespectful to the other person or takes a quick jab, sarcastic, and you just see the other person melt, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we do that?
I think this is something that we started to have a value of early on in our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it probably started from one of us, I won't say who, probably me, making a sarcastic jab at someone's expense.
Mine.
Yours.
Right.
It was probably really funny what I said.
It wasn't funny.
It probably was. Nope. And then you telling me...
Afterwards,
hey, that hurt my feelings, or I don't like it when you do that. And here's where I think a lot of people miss each other is two things will happen. Number one, that person will not have the courage to say that to their spouse. That hurt me when you did that.
Yeah.
And so I think the first step is to have a relationship where that each of you have the opportunity, the vulnerability, and the safety to say,
hey, this
what you did
me. This
offended
wounded me.
It wounded me. It hurt me. And then I think the next thing that has to happen is whatever spouse is hearing that has to have the maturity and the I don't think it takes vulnerability. I think it takes maturity,
humility
to hear that, whether you meant to hurt them or not, and say, I'm sorry, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, because that's how you felt.
Yes.
So whether I meant it that way or not,
that's
doesn't
the big
matter.
Thing. Because I think there have been times earlier on when I was like, well, I didn't mean it like that. And the point is, but I felt hurt by that. Mm-hmm. And so I think in our marriage, we both value each other so much and we don't want to hurt each other that we're able to come to the table in a safe spot and say, hey, I don't like when you do that. Now, after 21 years, I think we understand what's going to be hurtful and what's not. And I mean, I don't mean to sound weird. I just would never want to hurt you.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, if you want to publicly hurt your spouse, maybe that's something we should address first.
Yeah,
right?
Like I just would, that would break my heart to know that I did that.
Yeah.
And so I think that probably is a real big plus for us is mm-hmm. that neither one of
we
us,
don't want
we
to
don't
do that
want to,
each other.
Hurt you. Even if I think it's a funny joke, if it hurts you, it's not worth the laugh.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, here's a question. I didn't know what it meant, so I had to Google it.
Oh.
Okay, the question is this. Is the 7-year itch real?
You didn't know what the 7-year itch was?
I mean...
You thought it was like jock itch or like an STD or something?
Yeah, it was like like an ant bite that wouldn't go away for 7 years. I didn't know what the 7-year
okay.
itch was.
Okay.
But I Googled it. If you don't know, 7-year
yeah.
itch is this idea that after about 7 years, you go a little stir crazy and you want to pursue somebody else instead of the spouse that mm-hmm. you're committed to, right? Mm-hmm. So the question is the 7-year itch real? Which I think what they're saying is it real? There, because there is even in our culture, like this idea of like, man, it must be really boring to be with the same person for 7 years, much less like 20 or 50, you know? How have you felt about that?
Well, I want to just say, you said something about like the 7-year itch is when you want to go pursue someone else. I have always just heard it as in, it's just like things could get stale and boring.
I Googled it. The 7-year itch is you have a desire or a compulsion to pursue infidelity with your spouse.
Okay, well, here's what Wikipedia says. It says,
okay.
The 7-year itch is a popular belief sometimes quoted as having psychological backing. So that sounds true, right? That happiness in a marriage or a long-term romantic relationship declines around 7 years.
Hmm, okay.
They're saying it can only last 7 years.
Well, let's go with that one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Let's go with that instead of like in 7 years, you're going to want to cheat on your spouse.
I,
right?
I think that's a whole
okay,
other
let's,
podcast.
Let's go with your definition, Wikipedia, not Google. Wikipedia's definition of 7-year itch. Have you experienced that? And let's not, who cares if it's 7 or 4 or 19? Have you experienced that? Do you think it's real?
I think that it is real.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with what we said earlier is I think that you, every year you realize that you're not married to the person you married on that day you said I do.
Right.
And so I think every year you're getting this evolving person. Like, I hope I'm not the same person I was in 2001 when I married you. I hope that I am a better person spiritually, emotionally, like mentally, all the things. Like, I want to be growing. And so I think sometimes what happens is we see people growing, but they're not, because I don't think you have to grow at the same pace or at the same time. I think none of that is the thing, but I think you have to be like, am I willing to grow with this person?
Yeah.
Am I willing to love this person as they grow?
Yeah.
And this could be like taken out of context and been like, oh, well, I just get to like become this new person and my spouse needs to just get on board.
Let me do my thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, but there's still this unity. Like there's still this desire that we are one. So do I think it's real? I mean, maybe, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it is this thing that's going to ruin your marriage? Absolutely not.
Unless you let it.
Yeah.
Unless you let like the selfishness of, well, it's just been a long time with the same person and so I'm getting a little bored. Like you can let that happen. Mm-hmm. But I think marriage, just like any friendship, takes nurturing. So it means you gotta, it's like a garden. You gotta water it. You gotta tend to it. You gotta pay attention to it. Because if you don't, anything, any relationship gets stale, especially in a marriage where you're with that person. I'm with you more than I'm with any other human, you know, just like our count up the amount of hours in a given month. So I think it takes work. Yes, I think it's definitely possible. And that would be a really sad thing to watch like a couple go through. But it is a reality, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's actually take it from the master. This is from The Meaning of Marriage by Tim Keller, which I love this book. If you want to get a book on marriage after you get compliment, just kidding. Go get this one. Tim and Kathy Keller wrote this great book. He said in this book, in any relationship, there will be frightening spells in which your feelings of love dry up.
Hmm.
And when that happens, you must remember that the essence of marriage is that it is a covenant, a commitment, a promise of future love. So what do? You do the acts of love despite your lack of feeling. You may not feel tender, sympathetic, and eager to please, but in your actions, you must be tender, understanding, forgiving, and helpful. And if you do that, as time goes on, you will not only get through dry spells, but they will become less frequent and deep, and you'll become more constant in your feelings. This is what happens when you decide to love.
That's really good. And that was an excerpt from Compliment by Aaron Ivey, chapter 9. No, that's really good.
Yeah.
And you have to be those things.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. And I think that's how, I mean, look at any relationship. I feel that some ways in parenting, you mm-hmm. know, like sometimes I'm like, I don't actually want to be kind to you because you've been a jerk to me.
Yeah.
But I need to be those things because that's who I am. And I want to say this caveat here is that we're not speaking of any kind of abuse in marriage. We're not speaking of you just get to keep taking infidelity after infidelity. We're not talking about that.
Right.
So just
want
to make sure that's clear in anything that we're talking about basically today at all.
Totally. Yeah. In those situations, there are other ways that you should demonstrate forgiveness, and sometimes that means removing yourself from the situation.
100%.
Actually, all the times.
All the time,
removing yourself from the situation if there's abuse. But I love that concept of what he said about it's a covenant of future love. Mm. You know, I might not feel like showing you love right now, but I'm choosing to. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you love right now and future love. It's a promise of I'm going to love you till the end.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the things that sets us apart as Christ followers, is that this idea of like, I'm committed to this relationship. I'm committed to this covenant, no matter what. I mean, you say it in your vows. Most of us said on our wedding days, we've made that commitment, and that is that future love. And I think that is what separates us from maybe people who don't have the same mindset of the covenant that God created, because it is easy. Just like, oh, it's fine. I'm done.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The Christian response to it is, oh, there's something even deeper than just like signing a piece of paper.
Yeah.
But before God, mm-hmm. with God.
Yeah.
We're making a promise to each other.
Yeah. And if you're listening and you're like, well, must be nice for you guys. You guys sound like you have it all together. Mm. I do want to say, like, we are in a great spot in our marriage right now. We've had some hard times, but like, it's worth fighting for. And so the ways you fight for it, like seek counseling, individual and couple counseling. Maybe you need to go to like a weekend intensive with your marriage.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you need to have a group of people who come around every single week and check on you. So like make steps towards that.
Well, and nobody can do this on their own.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
We've had people step in and help us. We're both in counseling. You cannot do it by yourself.
Yeah. You can join the marriage challenge.
Mm.
And when I say join, it's literally once you sign up, it's free. It costs you nothing. Because it happened last year, you're going to get all 12 months right away. So you have access to all 12 of them. We interview people like Jenny and Zach Allen, the Stabils.
And they're really short too.
Yeah, they're really
like
short.
Very, very, bite-sized kind of stuff. I mean, we learned so much just from listening to our friends
with different topics about forgiving, following,
sex,
leading,
parenting.
Mission, parenting. They're really, really great.
Nanobots.
Anyhow, go to aaronandjamieivy.com/marriage-challenge. And if you want to get the book Compliment, you can get it wherever you get books.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I'm going to ask you what I ask everyone. What are you reading these days?
I'm reading a book called Prayer in the Night.
Oh, these Happy Hour listeners know about that book.
Yep.
Tish
Harrison Warren. It's incredible.
You don't have to read much of it because I have read a lot of it out loud to you.
Oh, I know. I get to a page where I'm like, well, okay, somebody's already read this out loud.
Everyone that's listened to the show knows I read that book last fall and could not stop talking about it.
You said it's the best book you read in 2021.
The best book I read in 2021.
Hmm.
And I read in January of this year a book that she wrote previously called Liturgy of the Ordinary. And I read you some of that as well. And it's really, really, really good.
I don't really have to read anymore.
Because I tell you all about it?
Yeah, you just read every book to me out loud.
You want me to tell you what I just finished reading?
I'd love to.
I just finished reading What Happened to You by Dr. Bruce Perry and Oprah Winfrey.
Again, a lot of that you read to me.
I listened to it actually on Audible, and so every time
Oprah read it to me in the car.
Every time he would get in the car with me, I'd be like, "Do you care if we listen to my book? It's really good,
isn't it?" It's so good. Yeah, I was hooked.
It's really, really good. Really good. So that's what I have read recently.
Awesome. You watching anything?
So we just watched Dope Sick.
We did.
Actually, I haven't finished it. Aaron finished it without me.
That is one of the best, like, mini series, because it's only 8 episodes, mm-hmm. and I don't think they're doing seasons. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like it the way it is. Everyone dies. But it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It reminded me how much I loved it of that mini series of the O.J. Simpson.
Yep. Or the mini series on Waco.
Yeah.
I felt like that too.
Yeah. Yep. You want to tell them what you just watched, because you loved it so much and I bailed?
It's called Station 11.
Yeah.
I loved that show. It left you in the dust though, didn't it?
Oh, it was so boring to me.
You hated it.
I hated it.
It's from a book, an actual novel about like post-apocalyptic future.
I'm out already,
but it's not dystopia. It's actually like, what's the opposite? Utopia. And so major pandemic hits the world, a type of flu. But this book was written before COVID came around. So future, big plague, flu, everybody dies. There's like a couple thousand people left on the planet. But the only thing that survives is the people and art. And so they used theater and art to inspire people again. It's awesome.
I was asleep in the first one.
It's so good. You hated it.
I hated it. Well, Aaron Ivey, thanks for coming into the studio today.
You're welcome,
Jamie. Thanks for my marriage. I hope we answered your questions. I think what I would want to leave everyone with about marriage is, we say this about marriage all the time, marriage is not the ultimate blessing that God has given people at all.
Right.
We think it is one of them. We think it is one of the ways that he represents the gospel to people. But we have plenty of people who are not married. And they are no less.
Perfectly content and living beautiful, fulfilling lives, building the kingdom.
And God is using them in phenomenal ways. And
absolutely.
So I always like to say that when we talk about marriage, because we love to talk about marriage. But sometimes people love to talk about marriage because they think it's like the ultimate goal. And we think that it is something that we have in our life, and a lot of people do. And so we want to encourage the people that are married. And then, like our friend from Zimbabwe, like, I think that you can glean a lot of this, and maybe one day, if God has that plan for you, mm-hmm. get a mate and get married. Mm-hmm. So thank you for listening, and thank you for joining us today. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
I always love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're my mate.
I'll be your mate forever. Thank you so much for listening to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. We are truly grateful for every single story that we get to share with you, every encouragement we get to give you, and every opportunity we get to point all of us to Jesus. If you're loving this show, we would really appreciate it if you would leave us a rating and or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, tell your friends. That is the number one way that people find out about our show. It's because you tell them. Join us right here every Wednesday and Friday for meaningful conversations that will make us think, they'll make us laugh, and they'll always point us back to Jesus. And come find me other places on the internet as well. I love Instagram. I'm over there at Jamie Ivey. And if you've never visited my YouTube page, you're going to want to go there. Have you ever listened to a show and wondered, I wonder what they look like? Well, go find us over there. It's jamieivey.com/YouTube. The Happy Hour is produced by Lindsay Sweeney. Show notes are written by Abigail Castell. Graphics are by Amaya Savoy Easton. The show is edited by Angie Elkins. And I'm your host every week, Jamie Ivey. And goodness gracious, I love being here with you guys. Until next time, have a happy hour with a friend.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.